Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office today, so no regular update of the commodity markets. This special program, we'll talk a bit about Granular. It's one of the big data companies. I caught up with a couple of the people that work with Granular at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in November of 2015.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Our term of the day is hedge as it relates to agricultural commodity price hedging. A typical hedger might be a commercial farmer, so the market value of wheat, for instance, and other crops fluctuates constantly as supply and demand for them vary, with occasional large moves in either direction. Based on current prices and forecast levels at harvest time, the farmer might decide that planting wheat, for instance, is a good idea one season, but the forecast prices are only that, forecast. Once the farmer plants wheat, he's committed to it for the entire season. If the actual price of wheat greatly rises between planting and harvest, the farmer stands to make a lot of unexpected money. But if the actual price drops by harvest time, he could be ruined. If at planting time the farmer sells a number of wheat futures contracts equivalent to his anticipated crop size, he effectively locks in the price of wheat at that time. The contract is an agreement to deliver a certain number of bushels of wheat to a specified place on a certain date in the future for a certain fixed price. The farmer has hedged his exposure to wheat prices. He no longer cares whether the current price rises or falls because he is guaranteed a price by the contract. He no longer needs to worry about being ruined by a low wheat price at harvest time, but he also gives up the chance at making extra money from a high wheat price at harvest time. However, in the case of a farmer, it must be noted that the hedge introduces another kind of risk. If the farmer has contracted to sell all his expected crop but then has a bad year, for instance, a year with lower than expected yields, such that his farm is not able to produce the committed quantity, he may have to purchase replacement crop at a disadvantageous price to fulfill his futures contract. And that's our trading term for the day, hedge, as it relates to agricultural commodities.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let me take a moment now to thank you for listening to our ag programming. Thank you. I mean it. Really, thank you for listening to the programming. And just as a reminder, here's what you hear each and every business day. We start at 8:55 a.m. with the opening market report, including Aaron Curtis, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Bill Mayer. And then an update at 10:58 a.m. with five other voices, Joe Vaklevic, Greg Ginder, Merrill Crowley, Chip Nellinger, and Steve Georgie, followed up at 12:58 each and every business day with Sue Martin, and then, of course, the closing market report, including our analysts Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzalem. And we wrap up each week by recording Commodity Week on Thursday evening. You can hear it at willag.org that night or on Friday afternoon at 2:36. Oh, and don't forget that we also have a whole series of regularly scheduled analysts during the closing market report for weather. Those include meteorologist on Monday, Mark Russo, Tuesday, Don Day, Wednesday, Drew Lerner, Thursday, Mike Tenora, and on Friday afternoon, both Jim Angel and Eric Snodgrass. WillAg.org. We think it's one of the most comprehensive places that you can find information about markets and weather and agricultural news. Oh, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office today. So no update of the commodity markets. However, we do have a special program for you today all about big data, in particular about one company that is located here in Urbana-Champaign campus in Research Park. That's on the south end of the U of I campus. It's called Granular. I caught up with Augustina Sarsidoda. She's the director of marketing for Granular. Granular, which is a San Francisco-based company, has opened an office space in Urbana-Champaign.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. This is this was a big grand opening for our office in Research Park. We have a lot of strong ties to the university, so it makes sense for us to have a physical presence there. From a customer standpoint, many of our customers are located in the Midwest, so we wanted to be closer, wanted them to have a place where they can come in for training, for education, for networking. And on the other hand, from a recruiting standpoint, it's really interesting for us to have access to a pool of talent that is familiar with the farming industry, have ag backgrounds, but are also technical and smart, and they're into engineering, they're into technology. And so from that standpoint, we have a ton of hires already, and so we just wanted to make that relationship a little bit more formal.
Which colleges do you hire from primarily on campus?
College of Engineering is probably our highest, most popular school.
You said you had a couple of different products. What are they?
So our primary product is Granular, the farm management software, which is a platform that enables growers to more easily manage their large operation by putting together agronomic, financial, and operational information in one piece. Acre Value is a product that we offer for free to anyone. It's a free farmland valuation tool that basically aggregates all publicly available data on farmland to give users a one easy place to access crop production history, productive capacity of farms, and in some cases in select states, an estimated valuation of each parcel of land.
We'll talk about Acre Value in just a bit, but let's talk about Granular, really what it can do for a producer. How does it work?
Essentially, it's a place that aggregates data for the farm automatically. What we're trying to do is replace a lot of the manual data entry that farmers are subject to, even for complex large operations. A lot of these farms are super reliant on Excel, which is hard to update, hard to manage, very prone to error. And so what we want to do is have our growers put their crop plans in, their plans for the season, and then essentially just run the farm on Granular. So if you were to think of SAP as a big system for companies, we are the SAP for farms, where you put in your information at the beginning of the season, and then as the season progresses, inputs get applied, work orders get completed, everything gets updated in real time so that everyone on the farm can just log in easily and have access to information.
For those who don't know what SAP is, and I forget what the initials stand for, let's start there. Do you remember? I know what the program does. So the program is a way for companies, for instance, like Kraft Heinz in Urbana-Champaign, to be able to tell where products are in the line, where trucks are on the road, where anything that is an asset might be, including human capital, so that they can better produce more efficiently product lines. And you're doing that in a way for producers, but you're collecting the data, I think, directly in an input way that producers will find super simple and easy to use.
Yes, so what we're trying to do, the day-to-day aspect of farm management on Granular relies on a smartphone app. So everyone on the phone gets access, on the farm, sorry, gets access to the application, and essentially every field operator will mark their work orders complete or in progress as the day goes through, which eliminates a lot of like the two-way radio traffic, a lot of driving back and forth, a lot of telephone calls and texting, because at any given point, everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing and where. And because the phones are GPS enabled, we factor in specific field location data so that if, let's say, an employee is done applying fertilizer in this field, we'll say, well, it makes much more sense now for you to go to this field because you're here. And so a lot of the logistical and the communication challenges that are inherent in big operations are kind of eliminated. A lot of driving time is eliminated because your workforce is constantly updated. And then all that data flows back into the platform so that someone in the office can see, okay, Todd just did this on the farm. That's excellent. That means X for my inventory, for example. And everything is updated as the tasks are completed.
So excellent for real time. I'm in the farm, I'm working today, but at the same space, it also collects data from third party programs so that you're collecting information for farm management over the year.
Yeah, so what we'll do in terms of third parties is automatically integrate any data files that are produced by the combines, by the tractors, across the brands that farmers use the most. And then everything, again, gets put back together into one single platform. And then the grower decides who they want to share that data with. So for ag lenders, for crop insurance agents, they have the ability to create user-specific logins so that they have access to the information that they want to share without having to print, without having to drive and send. So it makes sharing a lot easier, and it just makes them much more professional, which then you can argue improves their access to land, improves access to capital, and just they're better equipped to grow and to present themselves in like an attractive way to potential partners.
Have to ask, why did this develop in San Francisco?
I think that's a really good question. We have our founders have different sort of agricultural backgrounds. But what we saw in San Francisco, Sid Gorham is our CEO and one of our co-founders. He has a long history in technology and startups. And he kind of figured out that from a farm management standpoint, agriculture has been kind of underserved in terms of technology. A lot of the investment that we've seen historically has been on the crop yield side of things, and he saw an opportunity to focus on the dollar yield side of things. And so in San Francisco, we're fortunate to work with the best developers at a very fast pace, and we just have access to that technical talent. And I think now with our office in Champaign, we can be also a lot more local. And so we're kind of bringing together the best of both worlds.
Is this web-based, meaning will it work on a PC, will it work on a Macintosh, will it work on an Android device, will it work on an iOS or Apple device?
Definitely. It works on all devices. There's no downloads. You go to the granular.ag, sign in from your phone, from your app, from your tablet, anywhere you are.
What's it cost?
The cost varies by acreage and by crop mix. We have a minimum contract of $15,000, but we don't have a minimum acreage. So that's probably kind of like our minimum bar.
And so what size producer really can afford to use the granular management, because it's fairly expensive on the front end side? They're certainly going to think that as a web-based product. How big do they really need to be to think about using granular on a grain and oilseed farm, corn and soybeans, in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska?
So it's difficult to say, kind of establish like a minimum acreage and say, well, you have to be at least X thousand acres. A lot of our growers buy granular for very different reasons, and they measure ROI in very different ways. So we have growers that are all about improving team communication and effectiveness, right? He doesn't want his team to be waiting in the office in the morning for him to develop and put out all the orders. Some others are all about controlling of data and being on top of everything at any given point. So it's more about what you want to get out of it and then and then kind of making the decision that way. In a sense, it is like an investment, but at the same time, you kind of get what you pay for. We're very sort of, one of the things that we've been trying to do with our new customers is help them understand that what you get today is not what you're going to get tomorrow. We release updates every quarter. We have training webinars. And so it really is software as a service versus a product.
So really what it sounds to me almost is if it's, I need a part-time office manager during the spring and the fall, potentially, so to help me organize where everybody is, or maybe I need a part-time comptroller to help me manage my books, but I can get both of those for an investment of $15,000 or thereabouts.
Exactly. One of the most frequently asked questions that we get is, do I need a dedicated person to run Granular? And the answer is the exact opposite. We make it easier. We don't want you to hire someone else. We don't want that person, the CFO or the bookkeeper, to spend more hours. It's in our experience, it's been the complete opposite. We have had customers that have said, I've been able to give my teams an extra day because they're much more effective. I can, especially during harvest right now, we're getting a lot of feedback saying, before I used to spend 20 hours a week in the office updating my harvest books. Now I spend 2 hours making sure that the ticket scales, the grain tickets and the truck tickets are all updated and it all flows. So it's quite the opposite. And that's the goal. That's our goal.
So maybe I can put it in different terms. Rather than hiring a part-time employee, it's more like buying a brand new piece of machinery, say a really nice auger wagon, that makes you more efficient on the farm.
Exactly. It's a longer-term investment. And I think a lot of the customers that we work with have figured out that if they don't do this today, they're not going to be able to compete in the future, right? Because agriculture is becoming a lot more competitive. It's about managing cost of production. It's about being sophisticated with data. And really what we want is our customers to use data for business decisions, right? Farming is a business and we just want it to make it easier. There's a ton of uncontrollable risks in agriculture. We're focused on the risks that you can minimize.
Augustina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. It was great talking to you.
Augustina Sacerdote is the Director of Marketing for Granular. Tamara Toschen is the General Manager of another one of their products. It's called Acre Value. I asked her what she does at Granular.
So I'm the General Manager of Acre Value, which is a product offered by Granular. It's used by farmers, landowners, investors, appraisers, really anyone in the industry to understand the value and the productive capacity of farmland. In shorthand, you can think of it as the Zillow for farmland. And perhaps the most unique feature about our site is our automated valuation model, which is similar to the valuations you see on Zillow around the estimated price of your home. We take all the public data around farmland, compute it in a model, and estimate the value of a piece of farmland. This model was originally developed by a data scientist at Granular out of Stanford, whose family owned some farmland in Iowa. And they were sort of sitting around the table trying to decide whether it was the right time to sell it. And they couldn't come to a conclusion because they didn't know what they could sell it for. And they tried to do some research to see what farmland values were in that area. They couldn't find any sources of information. So this data scientist, he developed a model. And so that's now what we publish on our site in 3 states, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. Across the U.S., however, you can access critical data about farmland, most importantly, soil maps. So you can see the distribution of different soil types across a field. You can also see the distribution of the expected productivity of those soils across a field. So PI in Illinois, CSR2 in Iowa, and then NCCPI is what we use in the other states. You can also see a history of the crops grown on that field, the crop mix over time.
If I wanted to, for instance, find a particular soil type and have you show it to me, let's say, Ipava, can you do that in
You cannot run queries around soil types. No, you can only select a particular piece of farmland that you're interested in and get data about that piece of farmland.
Where does all the data come from?
Sure. So the soil data comes from the NRCS. The crop history data comes from NAS. And then we bring in a lot of other different data sources that feed our model across weather, climate, field shape and size. We look at average yields in the area, average rent prices, average values that are survey-based from the USDA. We look at livestock demand, a lot of terabytes and terabytes of data from all these different sources.
All available for free? Why?
The data is available for free, or Acre Value? Acre Value is available. So the history of Acre Value, I mentioned where the model came from, but really we decided to invest more in this tool because, you know, the customers that use Granular, our farm management software, are really expansion oriented, and top of mind for them is how do I get more ground and at the right price. And so, you know, wanting to provide so the end-to-end management tools to allow them to make those decisions, we thought this data would be really useful to them, and thought while we're at it, why don't we make it available to the industry overall? It would benefit the industry to have a single site like a Zillow where you can go to get kind of all the public data on farmland. Now we will be continuing to build out our tools within our farm management software, quote unquote power user tools around Acre Value, where you can envision going in and saying, okay, if I was to rent versus buy this new piece of ground, how would it affect my profitability? Or I'm thinking about buying these, you know, three new parcels of farmland, how that affect my overall efficiency? Do I have enough capacity to farm those fields? How would this affect my overall profitability of my business? So that's really where sort of the paid component of this farmland analysis focus we have is going to come in.
So the free is Zillow sorts of things where you can go in and say, there's an 80 here, I just want to know what it might be worth because I'm thinking about it. But if you're a Granular user, it's hooked into the back end in the farm management side, and it will say, now that's 25 miles from where you live. That is not going to work in your, unless you're really big and you're already transitioning from one place to another. So it takes all those sorts of things and puts them into the back end Granular tool and makes it really part of the farm management system and a way to help producers manage their growth.
Exactly. You can think of Acre Value as providing a market price for farmland, and our farm management software allows, we can calculate what is it worth to you, to your specific operation.
What's the web address for Acre Value?
AcreValue.com.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Again, that web address is acrevalue.com. Tamara Toscan is the general manager of Acre Value for Granular. I spoke with her and Augustina Sarsadota, the director of marketing for Granular, at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in November of 2015. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
It's National Lollipop Day. Racine, Wisconsin claims that it was the first to automate lollipop production, inventing a machine in 1908 to put hard candy on a stick. The machine could make 40 suckers a minute. On this day in agricultural history in 1801, Elisha Brown Jr. pressed a 1,235-pound cheese ball on his farm. He then loaded it onto a horse-drawn wagon and presented it to President Thomas Jefferson at the White House. The giant cheese arrived on New Year's Day in 1802. It measured more than 4 feet in diameter and about 17 inches in height. And it was emblazoned with Jefferson's favorite motto, "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God." In 1836, Sir Thomas Clifford Allbutt was born, an English physician. He invented the short 6-inch clinical thermometer. Before this, a foot-long thermometer was used that took 20 minutes to determine a patient's temperature. And in 1851, the first cheese factory in the U.S. to make cheese from scratch was started in Rome, New York by Jesse Williams. He had his own dairy herd, and he purchased more milk from other local farmers to make his cheese. By combining the milk and making large cheeses, he could produce cheese with uniform taste and texture. Before that, companies would buy small batches of homemade cheese curd from local farmers to make into cheese. Each batch of curds producing cheese with wide differences in taste and texture from one another. And that's this day in agricultural history.
In the 1920s, U.S. corn farmers were still planting open-pollinated corn. About 1,000 genetically different varieties existed, and most of them were white dent corn. A few were high-yielding yellow dent varieties. They were popular throughout the Corn Belt and became even more so when swine feeding trial studies proved hogs did better eating yellow corn because it contained vitamin A. A Reed Yellow Dent was the most popular open-pollinated corn variety in states like Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa. But the farther north you went, the less tolerant it was of the shorter, drier growing season. Well, the University of Minnesota went to work on the problem and solved it with a yellow dent corn called Minnesota 13. These two varieties, says Forrest Troyer, set the stage for the development of hybrid corn. By 1920, the double cross hybrid method had been developed by Donald Jones. Still, it remained difficult to find 4 inbreds good enough to make a double cross to sell. Henry Wallace, who founded the Pioneer Seed Company in Iowa, sold the first double cross hybrid in 1924. It was called Copper Cross. It wasn't until 10 years later, in 1934, that hybrid corn varieties even made a dent in U.S. corn production. Forrest Troyer says that year, 0.3% of all corn sold for seed in the U.S. was a hybrid.
And Iowa was the fastest growing, partly because of the work that the editorials that Henry Wallace wrote for Wallace's Farmer. And by World War II, by 1941, 1942, I believe 90% of the corn in Iowa was hybrid, and the rest of the Corn Belt wasn't far behind. Just a few more years, you know, that they it was an amazing thing once it got going. It was quickly accepted.
In 1934, that 0.3% of hybrid seed sold in the U.S. came primarily from two companies, Pioneer and the Funk Brothers Seed Company of Bloomington, Illinois. In 1935, Troyer says the first Ag Experiment Station hybrid was introduced, U.S. 13. A year later, Iowa 939 was released. In those early years of hybridization of corn, it was thought farmers would buy the original material and then produce their own hybrids. That's how open-pollinated crosses had been adapted throughout the Midwest, but the model didn't work for hybrid corn. So the corn seed companies prospered. Pioneer and Funk, along with DeKalb, were the three largest. These three companies and the experiment stations used the available open-cross yellow dent corn to develop their hybrids. It was at this point that the majority of the genetic diversification of the domesticated corn plant was lost. Today's hybrid corn comes from about 8 genetically different open-pollinated yellow dent corn lines. They include Lemming, Lancaster, Reed Yellow Dent, Minnesota 13, Northwestern Dent, Funk's Yellow Dent, and Troyer's Reed, along with 176A.
But over time, the thing that happened is that those inbreds that came from those popular varieties became the backbone of the hybrid seed corn industry. And what it really amounted to, as more emphasis was put on white adaptation of the hybrids, the inbreds from the varieties that did well over a more widely adapted area came to the forefront, and they're the backbone of the hybrid seed corn industry today.
Today, Forestroyer says half of the seed corn sold can trace its heritage to Reed Yellow Dent. Another 20% is directly related to Lemming, Lancaster, Minnesota 13, and Northwestern Dent. It's a narrow genetic base from which to work. He says it confines the ability of corn breeders to continue improving Yellow Dent corn. And in a world which is expected to grow by 4 billion people in the next 30 years, that could be a problem. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.